dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello there, SVC fans, and welcome into probably what would be considered our 201st podcast here at the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And this is going to be our girls basketball preview show, brought to you, as all of them are, by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right behind the Hampton Inn. Open 7 days a week for all good eats and fun things to do. Give them a call, 740-773-7529. Look them up on the web at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. Got two young men with me tonight. First off, Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette. Derek, I assume that you are finished now with the volleyball and all other fall sports for the girls. What are your thoughts as we head into the girls' basketball action?
Well, I mean, I tell you what, it seems like football season just started, so still trying to transition into basketball mode, and I'm sure before we know it, we'll be talking about baseball and softball, so hopefully I can just savor the basketball season. It's one of my favorite sports to cover live. So much action, so little time, and you know, just to you know, kind of enjoy the sport and see how our local teams do.
Yes, sir. We're glad to have you on board again as we launch into this basketball season. Looking forward to it. And, of course, the elder statesman of SVC, I don't know that I can call you really elder, but you are the elder of the two anyway, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, as I alluded to earlier, we celebrated the show 200, not 2000. Out at McDonald's. That was a fun night. Gosh, that was probably, 4 weeks ago or so? But what are your thoughts about that particular night and girls basketball as we get ready?
Well, I think what was so exciting about that night is how we were able to highlight all the schools, all the sports, and had a lot of different connections. I think back with Dylan Swingle and Eric Snyder and Joe Holbert, Mac Holmes, Dave Shoemaker, Craig Kearns, Trevor Thomas, Josh Gavin Snyder. I know Alan Maury Coker with us. This Jeremy Warden, Chris Eldridge, girls basketball fans. With this being the show, I know Brett Carino was on with us. Mm-hmm. We wanted to have Ella Skeens. Obviously, she was still playing volleyball at the time, but you know, we talked a little bit about her upcoming season, and it was a good time. And then I know another friend and another sponsor and another coach that was with us that night was Kevin Schultz of Crown Hill Golf Club. Obviously, we appreciate Kevin in so many ways. Obviously, as a sponsor with Crown Hill Golf Club, as a girls' golf coach, as someone who's so good to the boys' game as well, and the junior high and our youth programs. But you know, always want to give thanks to them. Make sure you give Crown Hill Golf Club a call, 740-986-4653. They have so many neat things going on right now, even with it being the winter. You can look into getting some of those holiday packages. Maybe get someone a variety of membership type of things that they have there that can give people a nice gift, that so when it does warm up, you can get back up there. So again, that's Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. And I guess, Bruce, where I would start when you're talking just basketball in general, two guys that mean a lot to me that were on the original agenda for that show 200. Mm-hmm. And we ended up, obviously want to thank Jan Detty and all the people at McDonald's there for making that happen. As you said in the opening, as always, Triple Crown Family Fun Center. But two guys were Jeff Miller and Matt Hoops, the basketball coaches for girls and boys basketball there at Uniota. Two guys that I go way back with. And so what we decided to do is, in our preview shows, I was able to sit down with them and do a two-part interview, to where we kind of got a little girls flavor on the one side and then the boys flavor that you'll be able to hear on our boys show later in the week. But if you're okay, Bruce, I guess just to kind of get us in the basketball mood here a little bit, let's go ahead and run that part one of that interview. This is with Jeff Miller and Matt Hoops.
Well, guys, as I was just saying in the leading up to this interview, I appreciate you guys coming in with me. Obviously, wanted both of you to be a part of my 200th show, and the way some of the logistics worked out, it kind of sets up nice for our basketball preview. Jeff, here on the girls' side, I'll start with you. You know, just now that you've had a chance to really settle in and establish yourself in the program, I know the sport of basketball has been really good to you. Throughout, not just to you professionally, but personally as well. But, you know, what's it mean to do what you're doing here at Uniota compared to some of the other jobs you've had throughout your career?
I think it's one of those situations that you kind of always want to get back to where your roots are, you know, at some point. Or, you know, you have some really strong ties to a school that you want to be at. So, you know, I was here for a while as an assistant. I've been at Portsmouth East, which is now Sidaville. I worked with your brother for a while down in Vinton County, and just to be able to be home, you know, taking over a program that has done really well, you know what I mean, for a long period of time, you know, it just means a lot. My kids go to school here, I work here, my wife works here, you know, you throw all that in together, and it just means a lot to be able to come to work here every day, coach these kids, and you know, coach in the Uniota basketball family. It just means a lot to me to be able to do that. So,
well, Hoopsie, obviously, with us growing up, you're a lot like I was, but real students of the game and different things with the tradition. Some of the early teams when you and I were young, we'd watch go to state, and you know, then again in the 90s, for a third time, Uniota girls go to the state. And then obviously with your family connection there, I know with Mallory, you enjoyed following the girls program. Just what's it mean to a boys program when you have a girls tradition that's just as rich in terms of selling the sport of basketball in the community?
Well, I think it's a situation where, you know, winning breeds winning. Success breeds success. And I can remember still to this day watching the girls play in the state tournament, being in, you know, fifth grade, fourth grade, something like that, and then again watching our boys go. And then you know, my daughter went through the program, and you wanted her to be successful and get to play for a coach like Coach Driggs, and then again to get to play for Jeff her final 2 years. It was a really good experience. Feel really blessed that she was able to do that. And just from a standpoint of a program standpoint, I remember when I started coaching here as the varsity coach, you know, we were kind of rebuilding, and there'd be times that we'd have to maybe move to one end of the floor because they needed to fix something for the girls program, and we were like, we got to get to their level, because they were kind of rolling at that time. And you know, I kind of would pick Coach Driggs's brain to say, you know, how are you doing this? How can you consistently do this? And it's just good to be a part of a winning program, and it's a lot of fun when the boys and the girls are both winning at the same time.
Well, again, to stay on that same thought, the two of us, I know, looked up to Jeff Miller and my brother and that group and so forth. So now you as a successful coach and Jeff doing what he's doing at the girls program, that has to be neat from a friendship standpoint to kind of get to do this at the same time here at Uniota.
I think that's what makes it special. I mean, you know, you get to coach great, you know, student athletes, and at the same time you get to see your friend doing the same thing, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, I think he cares a lot about his players as well as I do, and to watch them grow up as young men and women, you know, through the game of basketball and then into the game of life, and see them, you know, go off and get married and start their careers and things like that. You'd like to think that you had a little bit to do with that, with, you know, establishing their work ethic at, you know, at the high school level, and it's just a great thing to be able to be a part of.
You know, Jeff, when I look back, I mean, we've always had an appreciation for basketball and coaching, but you know, when you're a high school kid or maybe even a college, we probably didn't appreciate just the history enough of Uniota girls basketball. And so when you look at, you know, Coach Driggs and even Coach Taylor, what he had done, and now what you've been able to do, you know, what's the sense that you feel like that tradition goes for some of your teams now who are starting to accomplish some really neat things as well?
You know, I mean, that's one thing that one thing that I've tried to instill in you know, 6 years that I've been here is that you do, you've got kind of something to uphold. And I've kind of spent some time talking tradition with the girls because, you know, I mean, we're talking kids who weren't even born when these teams that Cindy Driggs coached were in a state tournament, you know, and unless they're really involved in that and really wanted to research that kind of stuff, really they maybe not understand the tradition. So, you know, I've spent some time trying to discuss that with them, you know, go over things. I mean, obviously, you know, we've talked about, you go out there and look at those banners. I don't know, you know, girls basketball-wise, the UNIOTA girls basketball banner out there might be one of the best packed banners that you've seen of any school around. Sure. I mean, three state tournament trips and numerous sectional and district titles and things like that. And then, you know, you get down to individual players. It wasn't long ago, I think at the beginning of the school year, Cindy was cleaning out her basement, and she brought me a bag full of old scorebooks. I spent a couple weekends just going through there and looking at Weingartner, Britton, Bowling, you know, Gilfillan. I mean, it was just endless. McClellan, Hill. I mean, it was just endless amounts of kids, players, you know, around my day that I'm like, wow. You mean, how many good players have come through here? So, you know, it's just something I try to talk to my kids, get them to appreciate and want them to kind of etch their own name in there as well. So,
well, obviously, has this been a preview show before we switch gears into the second part for the boys show? Let's just talk girls basketball real quick. You know, obviously, this time of year we talk a lot on paper. Obviously, you've got a really, really deep team, great guard play. You can really shoot it. Also, have some athletic size. A lot to like about your team. I know. Anytime Ellis Skeens is still in the league, that's quite the X factor. And then on down the line, I really think 3 through 6 has a chance to be just crazy with parity, and then some young basketball teams down there at the bottom. Just you know, I won't sit here and ask for predictions or anything, but just can you give the fans kind of an overview of the league from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Southeastern, it's their title until someone takes it away. It's not every day you get a kid like Ellis Skeens. I said to someone after the preview, I don't even know what the score was in our game with Southeastern. And they said, do you think Ellis worth that many points? And I said, that and some. You know, I mean, honestly, a kid of that kind of talent, she's going to score her points. She's going to make everyone else's job easier. She's going to defend. I mean, she can just do so many things that I think, you know, until someone steps up and takes it away from them, I think, you know, they've got to be the favorite. I think, you know, we're getting into a position that I think we can challenge them. I like my team. I like our depth. I think we can do lots of things, you know, as far as out on the basketball court. We can go up tempo. We can go slow. We've got some nice post play. So there are a lot of things that we have, you know, in our bag that we can go to. And like you said, I think there's another group of teams that, man, like you said, you could shake them up, roll them out. And I think, you know, you're going to see night in, night out some really, really tight ball games. So, I mean, I think the league could be very interesting this year as far as lots of good matchups throughout. You know, I mean, on Tuesday and Thursday nights, you're going to see some really good basketball games.
Well, again, that's our part one here on the Curl Show. I hope fans will tune over into the boys show to hear part two. But if they don't, I wanted to take this public opportunity to thank both of you for all you've done for me and the friendships we've had over the years. I really appreciate you guys and appreciate you joining me on SVC Sports Talk.
Thanks,
no problem.
Again, that's UNIOTA's Jeff Miller and Matt Hoops This is, again, the girls' show. Depending on when you're listening throughout the week, this show is going to be released on a Monday evening. Make sure you check out the boys' show for part two of that interview, coming out probably Wednesday evening as we prepare for the tip-off of the boys' season this weekend. But, you know, Derek, we'll have plenty of time to talk teams and kids later on, but I thought those are some interesting comments. And Bruce, I just appreciate the effort of those guys getting with me the other night to give me a chance to do this. So, again, kind of an extension of that show 200 as we branch into what should be a great season of basketball.
All right. Well, despite the fact that we took a few weeks off, the
inbox has not. So we're going to move now to some inbox questions. And this part brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment, of course, your local school apparel source for all SVC gear, along with other fitness gear, more sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. They're located at 106 West Main Street in Circleville. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. They're bringing to you this look at the inbox questions that have come in over the couple weeks that we've been off here. Shane, we're going to go to the first one. It's a pointed question, and it has a little hangover from the fall. It says, is winter volleyball and softball, I guess it's got a spring flavor as well, destroying girls' basketball? Yay or nay?
I'll tell you, I don't know. Destroying might be a strong word, but, you know, it's certainly not helping it. It's kind of a culture change in terms of more and more sports going year round. You know, we talked about it in volleyball. There's other areas of Ohio where you could probably say girls basketball is destroying volleyball. You know, I guess it's just whatever your preference is. You know, you get some parts of Southeast Ohio where, you know, they play basketball year round. They don't really play a lot of volleyball, and that shows in the fall. Then you get areas a little bit more of some of our league where, you know, they don't play much basketball. They play more volleyball, softball year round, and that kind of shows. I think it certainly can catch up with the different leagues and the different groups. So I don't know. Destroying is probably a little bit strong. I think our league has some good potential. I think year in, year out, we usually have a top half of the league. That's a pretty competitive bunch. But yeah, I think certainly the culture change from Little League all the way up through the way some of these off seasons are handled. Yeah, I mean, kids starting to make certain volleyball teams and them not playing basketball, and that hurts the numbers. Or I think you could even throw soccer into this mix.
Yeah. Aren't these things kind of cyclical, Shane?
Well, it can be. A lot of times it's something as simple as a couple coaches in the area that have kids of a certain age, and then they have friends, and it can kind of go. You know, you'll see different grades come through schools. Or classes, I should say, come through schools, and it can kind of go. But yeah, I mean, then you know, all of a sudden you'll get a group of kids that, you know, like they have at Uniota right now, or like a, you know, an Ella Skeens being like what I've called a once in a generation athlete. Yeah, that certainly plays a role. But yeah, I think destroying's a strong word, but I certainly understand the inbox concern there in terms of the overall numbers and the product on the court.
Okay. Well, Derek, we've got a question for you, specifically for you, by the way. And this is pertaining to deadlines. And this particular emailer asks, how will deadlines influence your printed coverage that you guys in the Chillicothe Gazette puts out there? An example that they provided was Tuesday game. Will you still cover that in Thursday's paper?
Well, I mean, a lot of that stuff, honestly, is not really in my hands. Sure. I would direct you to my editor.
Yeah.
You know, put him under the fire. Honestly, it's not even in my editor's hands. It's an entity, based out of Cincinnati that really kind of tells us what our deadlines are, what we can and can't do. You know, the plan right now is to – we've got a couple new things coming and a couple new features. I mean, we did the Sunday morning quarterback for football. We're going to do like a midweek shoot-around for basketball and some, you know, things like that, more of analysis instead of game coverage. Now, obviously, I'll be at a game almost every night. If Southeastern Uniota are playing for – you know, well, if Southeastern Uniota girls are playing no matter what – no matter when they're playing, what will happen is we'll be there, and then that game will be covered 2 days later. But if it's a non-conference game and it's a blowout, or if it's, you know, I mean, you know, if it's an 80-30 game, you know, it'll still be covered. It'll just be covered online. And now each game, I would tell readers and listeners that, you know, each game, each night, we have scores, leading statisticals, you know, all that good stuff. And that's always online. So, like, game night, you can always find that online, you know, and other things, I guess, too. So everything can go online. It's what we call, Bruce, the the unlimited space of the internet.
Yeah,
and we don't have deadlines on the internet. Yeah. So that's a powerful tool for us.
Well, I was just going to say, it's kind of, I mean, how technology has kind of moved us, or where it's moving us. And
sure.
And those quick things, the quick hitters, you can pick those up so easily online, and maybe the feature articles and so forth, those are a little bit easier to read on the paper, and the paper lends itself to more of that kind of coverage, a little bit longer stuff rather than the headlines. And that's kind of how it is, and so many other, you know, things other than sports as well. You can get the particular headline, but you may want to move into a printed material for the whole story, so to speak, and that's what you'll provide. Okay. All right. Hey, Shana, I think we'll head next to the fast break.
Well, sounds good. I mean, if people are longtime listeners of SVC Sports Talk, they know throughout the fall we do our hurry-up offense, our basketball flavor of that segment. In the winter is our fast break. It's the same type of rapid fire where, you know, Derek and I, we still can give a detailed answer, but it's a little bit quicker than what we would in a normal inbox response. So, as always, this is brought to the fans by Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, as I mentioned early, appreciate all that Kevin does. Give Crown Hill Golf Club a call, 740-986-4653. Obviously, on the girls' side here, everything's a girls' basketball flavor, Bruce. If you're okay, go ahead with it. We'll let Derek go first, and I'll follow up.
Based on last year's performance, as well as what you've watched and researched this offseason and preseason, give the fans your preseason all SVC first team.
Shame for me. I mean, you know, those five, if I'm thinking of guards, I think of Uniota's Emily Coleman and Huntington's Brayden Collins, especially based off of last season for Collins, you know, what she scored, like 50 points a game. So we know those two are going to be, you know, great on the basketball court. I look at forwards. I look at Della Skeens, Lexi Woods, of Paint Valley, obviously Ella there at Southeastern, two just dynamic players going to college at the next level for basketball. And then when I look at the in the post, I look at Josie Fisher of Uniota. You know, I think those five are a solid five to start with. Very well could change by the end of this season, but if I was asked right now, that would be my starting five.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree too much. I think my list, not looking, you know, it's more of a positionalist position. You know, not really looking at the position as much, just kind of looking at the five players in general. I think obviously Ella Skeens there at the top with Lexi Woods right behind. Both very versatile, very dynamic in their skill set. They are there for sure. Obviously, when you look at what Brayden Collins did a year ago, and I know she's going to go through a little bit of a position change this year and a little bit of a different situation, but I still see no reason with her points and her steals and so forth and the way she can impact the game. That's for certain. You know, when you look last year at what the Josie Fisher had done. I think she's there, although, as you said, with a Coleman, I think Uniota in general has so much depth. I think that's going to be a really interesting balanced attack to sort out. So I guess the only other kid I would throw in there just to be a little bit different is someone with all the bigs at Piketon graduating, someone like Elida at Piketon. I know she had a big opener, and you could kind of see that coming in the off season and some of their summer action as well as here in the preseason. So again, those five at the end of the year, guys, going to certainly be a worthy list, some good players.
Give the fans a player you feel is ready to take on a bigger role during the 2017-2018 basketball season.
Well, Shane, I mean, you just kind of knocked on wood for me with, I mean, Gracie Lida with Kara Blanton there, you know, and Summer Travis gone at those, like you said, the bigs at Piketon gone. You know, I really expect Gracie Lida to have a big season. I would also throw Avery Reuter in there as well. You know, she's going to have to shoot more. She's going to have to produce more offense than she already has. But she's going to have to do it from the outside in instead of the inside out. So I would go with that duo. I think both of those guys could potentially average double-digit scoring.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. I mean, that Piketon backcourt for sure, even throw Odell in there. I think they're going to have to really, really pick up the scoring, which they're capable of doing. I guess I kind of looked a little bit to the top of the standings here, as I see a kid like a McKinley Mitten at Southeastern. I think Southeastern's front line's really impressive, with the likes of Heiss and Collins, and we know what you're going to get from Skeens. We saw McKinley there in the three-point contest to the preview, which I thought was a cool addition to the event. I think that's going to be something that she's going to have to really pick up some on the offensive end, and I think that's something she's capable of doing.
With three new head coaches in the league, what impact could this have on the final standings?
I mean, I think it could have a significant impact. I mean, obviously, you're dealing with new systems and, new offenses, defenses. And as you said, Shane, maybe a couple players switching some positions, switching some roles on the team. But I think, when it comes down to it, basketball is a little bit different, where it's different than a football head coach coming in, changing everything, because basketball is a sport where, if you do have an Ella Skeens on the court, she can make that big of an impact. Just like Jeff Miller said in that interview, I thought that was great. She can make up for that many points and then some. So, I mean, I think it does have a minimal impact, obviously, because you're running different systems or running different offenses. But I think, when it's said and done, talent kind of outshines that, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be a huge impact, but I certainly think it's a factor. You know, when you look at Coach Daly there at Zane Trace, obviously their number situation is going to be tough. It's going to be a young group. So I think what she's trying to accomplish goes far beyond just this year. I think the interesting matchup there, Coach Norman at Paint Valley, Coach Carroll at Huntington, obviously those are two teams right there in the same part of the standings head-to-head. So it's interesting. Tiffany comes in with some varsity experience with the time she spent at Western, but coming into a new situation, kind of coming back home where she played at Huntington. And then Coach Norman, another person that played in the program at Paint Valley. She's coached these kids at some younger levels coming up, so that'll help. But it always has an impact. It's a tough time to be a varsity head coach and a new coach at that, with some of the different culture changes in the last 10 to 15 years. But so I don't know it'll be a huge impact, but it certainly will play a little bit of a role.
What impact does losing the Paint Valley Lady Cats Classic have on the promotion of girls basketball?
For me, around this part of Ohio, I think it's a very significant impact. That was one of the days that, that for me as a reporter, that started basketball season. When the Paint Valley Lady Cats Classic commenced, basketball season commenced for me. Now, that's in my short tenure at the Gazette, 4 or 5 years now. But you got to see so many teams and so many athletes. I mean, we had that Wheelersburg Southeastern matchup last year. And there's matchups like that, or there's, matchups like a Piketon and a White Oak. Or, you get that first taste of how's this team going to look this year. And of course, for me and, guys like you and I, Shay, it was overreaction. Monday, the next time we got together and recorded it just to say, well, I think this team's going to do this because of what they did in the Lady Cats Classic. But the point is, we saw many athletes, many coaches, many teams, and we didn't get to do that this year.
Yeah, I think the promotion is a great word here, Bruce, because I think, as Derek said, before the boys really got started, other than, say, a preview or something like that, it really gave the girls a chance to go center stage. Most of the schools open. Other than that, it's funny because, Derek, I've talked to a lot of girls coaches. Board girls coaches are scared to death of this weekend because you have, all the shopping that now takes place Thursday night and all day Friday. Now, I'm being serious. Friday, and there's some coaches that have adjusted practice schedules for it, or you're playing on a Friday afternoon scares coaches to death. They wonder if their kids have slept in 48 hours or just, And it's a weird dynamic. So I hate to lose the event. I think it's something that if someone else can take on and maybe even move it out of the opening weekend and miss the Ohio State Michigan weekend and all the different dynamics that, kind of made the scheduling difficult, I think it's a great event. So, yeah, it certainly hurts the promotion. I think we're going to get two girls teams open over the weekend compared to a number that used to be much, much higher.
And there you have our fast break brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call and think about next year. 740-986-4653. They'll work things out for you. We're going to move now, gentlemen, into our post-game comments brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. And these are comments from the fans. We're going to C&K is a provider of SVC local school apparel along with all kinds of sports equipment, your headwear, other sports accessories, and, of course, fitness gear. Give them a call up in Circleville, 740-477-9828. And they are located at 106 West Main Street in Circleville. So we're gonna put you guys on the spot, so to speak, a little bit now, and let's talk some predictions. So I guess most fans are saying Adina and Zane Trace kind of at the bottom with young teams, and then the 3-6 spots, Piketon, Huntington, Paint Valley, and Westfall kind of in there in the middle. Do you agree? We'll go to Shane. Do you agree or disagree with this, Shane?
Well, let's start there with the Adina Zane Trace. I think those are two schools. And by the way, Derek, I know I speak for both of us. We obviously want to send our thoughts and prayers to those two communities and the different things that they've been going through, far bigger than basketball. But, you know, when you do go onto the court and as a show like this, you're trying to analyze and preview what's to come. I would say just numbers alone and some of the difficulties that they're going through just in terms of building a roster, they're continuing a process that's going to be a couple years down the line. But yeah, that 3-6, Bruce, I totally agree with. I think that's really unique. I think when I start with Piketon, you know, Derek, it's really, you know, we both kind of agreed, I could tell in the fast break segment, that Reuter and Lytle and Odell and some of the different things there, who would have thought that we'd be talking about Brett Carino's teams in terms of who's going to step up in the post play? You know, it's kind of the way they've turned the guards. Now, you're still going to get the same aggressive defense and so forth. So that'll be an interesting team to watch. And, you know, he does such a good job preparing them. They're going to be really kind of a heavy favorite in the eyes of many for that three spot. But then I know, you know, there's other teams as well. When you look at Huntington, a little bit of a position change for Braden Collins, I think that's going to be I wouldn't overlook that. As good a player as Braden is, I think that puts a lot of extra things on her shoulders. A kid that's used to kind of running out in front, running off different screens, doing different actions, now is going to have the ball in her hands a lot more, doing some things with the dribble. Kelsey McDonald's a terrific player. Riley Black and Cheyenne Conley return as well. But, you know, I think for that team to go to the next level, I think it's going to be an Emily Halbau. It's going to be, you know, maybe a Grace Davis, maybe a Brody Etler, maybe, you know, even Josie Eckert. It's going to be somebody beyond that gives them a little bit more of growth. Obviously, they graduate, you know, Ricky McGill's ball handling and decision making from a year ago. And then with Paint Valley, we mentioned one of the real terrific talents in our league, Derek, with Lexi Woods. But, you know, in that fast break segment, we certainly could have went to their roster and picked out a Leah McFadden or a Kelsey Dunn or some kids. I know Cammie Crawford shot the ball well in the 3-point contest. Boy, would that be a nice lift for them. But, you know, Tristan has a really deep roster, a lot of kids. She has two or three JV kids that aren't ready right now, but with some work and development, come January, February, they could make the difference down the stretch. So that's kind of interesting. And then, you know, some people hesitate to throw Westfall in this mix. I wouldn't get too wrapped up on their first score. Vinton County, I know, is going to be really good this year. I mean, they made 13 threes in the game. They're a really, really talented group. I think Westfall is probably, Bruce, in that six hole in the preseason. But I think in certain matchups, because of their ability to pressure, because of their ability to have 3-4 kids that can score the ball, I think they're going to play some really competitive games with Piketon, Huntington, Paint Valley. So I think it's fair to put them in that mix. So, you know, Derek, that's just kind of an overview of a lot of the players. I know you mentioned a lot of those players in your preview as well. You know, is there a certain way you'd sort those 3-6 out in your mind? Any X factors maybe I'm not mentioning?
No, I mean, you know, I think you did a good job, you know, naming the players. I mean, I would say with Paint Valley, you know, to me, I think just with Lexi Woods' experience, maybe gives them an edge over there or over the rest of those. There are other three, you know, or 4-6, I guess, at that point. But as you said, Brett Carino, I mean, that team is constantly scrappy. We talk about defense. I mean, Brett Corano, I asked him for the preview. I said, so can we expect the regular, you know, Brett Corano style defense in your face? You know, we're going to get nasty with you all night long. He goes, that's absolutely what you can expect. So looking forward to seeing that. I would say, just looking at it, like you said, I know you can't maybe overreact to that score, but with Vinton County and Westfall, I think Westfall may be 1 year away from being in that group. I would put them probably at six just because of the inexperience. And if you look at the rest of the experience on the Huntington, the Piketon, and the Paint Valley, just in their juniors and seniors, because they've played since they were younger, I think you have to maybe kind of put Westfall with that Adina Zane Trace, still kind of rebuilding type of process. But, you know, you never know. They've got a lot of great athletes. The Dudgeon girl's good. The State Neff, you know, she had 13 points the other night. You look at the Kitchen girl, you know, the Blue Park. I mean, it goes on and on.
Sure.
So yeah. You just never know. I know Jennifer Blue's a great coach. So, you know, I guess we'll see, right?
You know, Bruce, I think that Derek kind of makes a good point here. When you're sorting them out, I think it's fair to say that Paint Valley probably has the toughest matchup for teams when you think of Lexi Woods talking in this 3-6 mix.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting, you know, about the growth of McFadden and Dunn and so forth there, but then like with Huntington, you know, Braden Collins is a best player that you don't have to run anything for. She just kind of naturally goes and gets hers. So I think a lot of times that kind of is very difficult to match up with as well. But then you have Piketon. We always talk about turnovers and rebounding, and with that guard play, you know, they're going to be efficient. They're going to take care of the ball. And then I don't care what size they are, you know, Brett Carino's teams are going to compete hard on the glass and so forth. So I just think you're in for some interesting matchups. I think Paint Valley and Piketon play pretty early, if I'm not mistaken. So that's going to be interesting for sure to see some. You know, you saw two of those matchups in the preview, and I know it's just the preview, but with most of the normal combinations out there, you had two really close games.
All right. Well, that just leaves two, I believe, that being Uninoto and Southeastern. And what's your feeling on what's separating those two programs?
Well, I guess for me, this is really tough because, you know, Jeff said it best in his interview, until someone knocks Southeastern off, you know, they're your champion. And are you going to sit here and bet against Ellis Gaines? That's really hard to do. I mean, what Jeff meant in his comments for fans that maybe don't totally agree with how many points she can make up is, you know, I thought the difference in that matchup with Ella off the floor is Southeastern's inability to just simply handle the basketball. And if Uniota wanted to crank the pressure up even more than they did, I think that could be a problem. Well, I think this year, Skeens is going to have the ball in her hands a little bit more, and she's going to be able to be even more dynamic than she's already been in her special career. I think their front line with Morris and with Heiss and Collins, gosh, and you throw in the heights of Skeens, they're such a big team. Here's what I see, Derek O. Southeastern and Uniota, those types of teams over the years, they overwhelm 70, 80, maybe even 90% of their schedule with their size and their athleticism and how they dominate the turnover and the rebounding categories. So what happens is this: with Uniota's guard play, is Southeastern able to really create those easy point opportunities? With Uniota's size and athleticism on the glass, is Southeastern able to clean up a lot of those offensive rebounds and different things that they do against a lot of teams? It's kind of like what caught up with them in the Eastern Brown matchup a year ago. So I think to me, that's the interesting dynamic because, I mean, this Uniota team is just crazy, crazy deep. You know, mm-hmm. You love Coleman and Cottrell at the guard position. We know about Fisher inside, you know, and I think we forget too many times about Atkins and Sigmund and some of those older players that are really, really good players. You know, it's just it's tough. So, you know, it is tough to predict, Bruce, because on one end, I agree with Jeff in terms of it's Southeastern's to lose. But if you're just looking at it on paper, you start to feel like Uniota has closed the gap and you're not so convinced that they're not the more complete team.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Derek? We want to give you some rope to hang yourself too.
I mean, Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, I'll say this, and Shane, I'm sure we'll get emails. Well, we just might as well call this Unyoda Sports Talk, you know, because that's what I get with the Unyoda Gazette, right? Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that there's a reason that Ellis Keynes is a three-time Player of the Year. I think I'm not saying that there's not. However, you know, I really think that Unyoda has the team this year, you know, to really up in Southeastern. And here's why. It's not because of the players that they have. It's because of the one player Southeastern doesn't have, and that's Audrey Wheeler. And I really think a lot of people underestimated what Audrey could do. They undervalued what she brought to the team because of Ella. It's kind of that Jordan Morris, Cammy Chandler syndrome at Pike and Volleyball, because Ella's so good. And so she may score 40 in a night, but she had 24 over here from Audrey, and she had 14 rebounds and 9 assists. So I'm anxious to see. Southeastern has to have that second go-to score like they did last year. When Ella was double-teamed at Wheelersburg, or when Ella was double-teamed at Eastern Brown, they could get the ball to Audrey, and Audrey can score. Right now, I don't know if – I mean, maybe Skylar Heist, you know, pops into that role. Maybe a McKinley Midden, as you said, can shoot from deep. But – right now, and admittedly, I haven't watched Southeastern play, but just judging from last year, I don't see that second go-to score. Whereas Unyoda, they've got a Coleman, they've got a Stully, they've got a Fisher. I mean, they're just so deep. And then, as you said, with Sigmund and Adkins, their experience level they bring to it, I think that kind of sets them apart, because they have that bona fide second go-to score. You know, hopefully Southeastern does find that, and you know, we have a great league race. But I think time will tell. We're going to see just how good Unyoda is. It's a shame that Miami Trace is in a Division II bracket, because I really think they got a shot to get to a district final.
Well, and Bruce, I think, again, some of the interesting points there is, you know, I think Mitten, as I said in the fast break, I think Mitten can knock down shots. I think Collins and Morris and Heist give you things on the front line. My biggest concern for Southeastern is there's going to be so much pressure on Ellis Keynes handling the basketball and making the plays that I think Derek's point about Audrey and even Mitten from a year ago was very, very important. The difference with Unyoda is – You can take two guards as special as Coleman and Cottrell off the floor, and a name we probably don't speak of enough is like Stally. You know, Cree Stally's a special, special talent. I mean, she is crazy talented. You know, I mentioned Sigmund and Atkins, not to mention down low with kids like Causey and so forth coming back. I just, to me, there's just going to be a lot of pressure on Ellis Keynes in terms of handling the basketball and creating. But then again, you're talking about a kid that is on her way to, you know, 2,000 plus points and is a really, really special player. So if anyone's going to take on that challenge, she'd be the one I would pick. So it's going to be exciting for sure. I think those two teams have probably separated themselves from some of the other teams. That's not to say that Piketon, Huntington, Paint Valley on a given night does not have the talent to stick their nose in, because I think they do. But I think overall those two teams will certainly be playing for the SBC championship come the final regular season game of the year.
All right. So that's going to wrap it up for our girls preview show, Shane.
Yeah, just encourage people here, depending on when you're listening to this week. If it's not Wednesday yet, look for our boys show coming out on Wednesday. We'll have part two there with Jeff and Matt. It's exciting. I'm glad the hoop season's here and we're ready to go. So fans, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all of our great sponsors, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes there at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs. Remind you to keep visiting SBC SportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVC SportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.